Manuel turned on no lights, so Anya navigated the dark hallway with a palm against one wall.
Soto says you've been poking your nose into police business. Why is that?
I witnessed a sniper taking a shot at a famous matador and reported it to the police. If that's called poking my nose into things, then Officer Soto has a strange way of looking at it.
He doesn't like you.
They arrived at the door to his sanctuary, but he didn't open it. A light from the dining area glowed down the hallway, making it possible to see his face, though it was still shadowed.
You and Cesar Soto are friends?
As I explained when you were here the other night, we were at one time, but no more. I run into him at the fights. I appreciate you trying to help, but this isn't your concern. I trust Cesar will track down the shooter and take care of the matter.
Do you know Eva Vital, Manuel?
The dancer? I've heard of her. Why do you ask?
You two have never spoken? Perhaps after a fight or a party?
I find your question strange and intrusive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I met her at the club where she dances, and she mentioned the great torero El Bravo. I just wondered if you two had met. So, the crowns?
Manuel ushered her into the room ahead of him. A flip of the light switch turned on the line of halogen lights above the altar, but the room remained low-lit and peaceful. Anya fished out a pair of white latex gloves from her backpack and held them up in question. He nodded. Manuel crossed his arms and leaned against the doorframe. He wasn't about to leave her alone, of course. The first crown was smaller than the one to her right. Anya made a cursory inspection of it, but she was eager to look at the bigger one that featured the inscribed base. It was suspended from a gold hook linked into a short length of chain. Her eye followed the chain up to the ceiling. The screw holding the first crown had been painted white to match the ceiling and was obviously installed when either the room had been decorated or the ceiling had been repainted. It had been there a while, judging by the gray coating of dust. The second screw hook was shiny gold metal.
This one must be a recent acquisition.
Sometime this year. I lose track of dates and time when the season is upon me.
Yet the fresh sawdust on the inner curve of the hook indicated that this edition was probably quite recent. With a glance first to Manuel, silently gaining his permission, Anya carefully touched one of the gold letters at the base of the crown. The capital A, and next to that, a capital L. Altogether, it spelled out, "Given by Alaric." That confirmed it. This crown had been stolen early in the 20th century from the Madrid Museum, and it hadn't been seen in public since. Anya traced a fingertip over a sapphire the size of a dime. Manuel's posture abruptly shifted. She was touching his stuff. And he must know that if anyone could ascertain whether this item was genuine and possibly stolen, it was Anya. Which put her in a bad situation if the man was as violent as Eva Vital had intimated. He was a trained killer. Anya wouldn't let down her guard, but she couldn't stop herself from pushing a little harder.
These aren't replicas.
If you say so.
I'm sure you're aware these couldn't possibly have been obtained legally.
I'm not privy to the intricacies of the law regarding ancient treasures. What are you accusing me of, Creed?
Nothing. Yet.
I acquired these from a second-hand party in the little shop I mentioned to Senor Braden.
So they weren't gifts. Earlier you couldn't recall if they had been gifts.
You are making this sound like an interrogation. I have no idea as to the origin of these crowns. Nor do I care if they are authentic or merely copies. They have a sacred meaning to me. Though every moment you are near them, you draw away some of their sanctity.
If authentic, these crowns were once owned by kings. This says, given by Alaric. Do you know who that was?
Enlighten me.
He was a Visigoth king in the 4th century.
I am not a big fan of history. I've heard how kings once fashioned the crowns to give to churches. They are made by royalty and with holy intentions. It is why they are sacred to me.
Yet if you acquire them from a shop that sells replicas, how can you believe them real?
I like to believe they could be real. I do not question.
If I'm not mistaken, this very crown went missing from the Cluny Museum a few months ago. Actually, it was being shipped to the museum and got lost in transport. And by lost, I mean stolen. You've got stolen property in your possession.
Have you proof? Are you going to report me to Soto?
For some reason, I suspect Soto would arrest me instead of you. Besides, the theft should be reported to the local museum as well as the authorities. Did you hear about the man who was murdered a few days ago in the Hotel Blanco?
My focus is on the ring. It would prove deadly if I littered my mind with every little problem in the world.
Anya removed the latex gloves and tucked them in a front pocket.
The man, Diego Montero, was killed with a knife or sword run through his spine from a position above his head, similar to the estocada delivered by the matador to the bull during the faena.
There are as many toreros in Spain as there are rock stars in America.
You have to admit that the method is unique.
A stylish move.
Stylish.
Anya tapped the gold crown with a bare fingertip, then remembered his extreme annoyance over having his things touched.
Sorry.
El Bravo's jaw stretched so tight, his cheeks had blanched, and his eyes could have blazed a hole through her heart.
Creed, you dance around your suspicions like a matador plying the cape to a frisky yearling. I'm a matador, not an assassino. My whole life is the bull ring. I have nothing else. I live, eat, sleep, and dream the corrida. Because of that dedication, my soul requires something else. Salvation, peace of mind away from the world. You know, I kill for my supper. Do you think salvation can ever be mine? These splendid effigies, real or fake, offer me a bit of that salvation I seek. But once it is tainted, diluted by the careless touch of another, the energy has been weakened. It no longer gives salvation. You have done this.
I didn't even leave a fingerprint. Besides, it wouldn't...
Anya turned to find a dagger a foot from her face, its tip pointing at her eye. The matador wielded it with cool elan. The blade was shorter than the estoque he used for the killing stab and must have been concealed in a pocket. His eyes defied her to make the next move.
Seriously? You're going to cut me for touching the votive crown? An object you claim may not even be authentic?
You've tainted my salvation.
And you are a nutjob.
Anya backed toward the door, but the matador beat her to it and slammed it shut. His face had grown even paler, and malevolence brightened his dark gaze.
You want to taint your sanctuary with my death?
Death brings me honor.
He slashed the dagger at her, and she dodged, luring him to the right toward the altar. Anya stepped up onto the prie-dieu and tapped the crown, setting it wobbling. Manuel's attention became glued to the artifact. It gave her time to grab the door handle and rush out of the room. As Anya ran through the dark hallway, she realized she'd taken a turn into the bedroom, not the exit. The sword filled Anya's grip with solid reassurance. She held it hilt up at her chest, blade beside her head, shoulders against the wall, as she waited. If she ended up injuring the bullfighter, Cesar Soto certainly wouldn't go easy on her. Neither would anyone in Cadiz, and likely all of Spain. Not to mention she'd bring down Garin's wrath. She eyed the window, which was shuttered with an elaborate Moorish-style dark wood screen. Just as she dashed for it, Manuel entered the room. The sweep of his blade cut the air. Hooking an elbow about the bedpost, she swung around with the sword.
Where the hell did you get that?
Does it matter? Girl's gotta protect herself from loco toreros.
Oh.
Manuel strolled toward her, the blade held high and tilted downward as if positioned to enter the back of the bull's neck. He held the erect posture of a matador defying his opponent to charge.
Then show me what you have, Anya Creed. You think you can bring this torero to his knees? Deliver me the coup de grace.
I just want to walk out of here in one piece and with as little bloodshed as possible.
You know too much.
He slashed the blade toward her, and she stepped to the side, both hands around the sword hilt, but still unwilling to take a swing at him.
So my suspicions are true? Where did you get the votive crown? From a local seller?
As I've said, I go through a dealer. I never wish to know the origins of the items I purchase.
You had something to do with the bull being released in the street.
I did not.
It was Cristo, then. Does he look after his maestro's best interests? Issue threats to those who might learn too much? I've been told you and Cristo have a rivalry.
All the more reason why I would not employ him to do my dirty work.
No, you do it yourself. It was you in Diego's hotel room that night, wasn't it?
Manuel lunged, and Anya jumped back. Backing toward the window, with a quick glance, she saw the latch was secured with a hook. Using the tip of her sword, she unlatched the shutter.
Did you go through Russell Jones to get the crown? In London? You know he's dead.
Never heard the name.
And the man killed on the beach a month ago in the same manner as Diego Montero?
You are tossing out accusations like flowers into the ring. I crushed them beneath my heel.
Manuel sliced the blade at her. Anya leaped onto the bed to lure him to the opposite side of the room. She jumped to the floor and met him with a clash of steel against steel. She didn't swing hard, not wanting to injure him. Out the corner of her eye, Anya spied a small silver effigy of Baal on the hearth over the fieldstone fireplace.
Do you kill everyone who touches your things?
They matched each other, circling with blades pointed toward each other.
Did Diego Montero touch the votive crown before delivery?
I don't know what you are talking about. I never met the guitarist.
How did you know he was a guitarist?
The news stations reported it.
I thought you didn't pay attention to the media during the season. And why didn't you take the Baal statue?
The bronze bull?
As far as Anya was concerned, Manuel had just confessed. She dashed to the unlatched window.
I will see justice is served. Those crowns don't belong to you.
Anya slid a leg through the window. She jumped out, grateful they were on the first floor, and landed on her feet in a patch of fuchsia begonias. Anya burst into a run toward the gates that were open out onto the street.
No! Let her go! Don't follow her!
Now, she just needed an audience with Soto without getting arrested. Cesar Soto slapped his cell phone shut. He kicked the leg of his desk, upsetting a manila file that scattered papers inside it to the floor.
If she talks to anyone, I may never be able to pin down the dirty cop.
And he was this close. All he needed was proof that the alibi during the warehouse fire was false. There had been no prints at the dig site where Klosky had been murdered, but the gun used was still at large. He picked up the phone and accessed his contacts. Top of the list was A. He hit dial and inwardly cursed Bravo for his indiscretion. Anya hopped off the bus a few streets away from the hotel. It was close to midnight, and the air was humid. At the corner of the intersection, a group of teenagers were crumping. Yet right alongside the modern dance moves, girls in flamenco skirts performed earth-punishing golpes, while their graceful arms swept the air in rhythm. The mixture of the two dance styles brought Anya to a standstill to watch. The male partner worked his rapper moves, insinuating the street style into the traditional dance, while the female streeted up the Spanish dance with an attitude that would have knocked over any gangster rapper. A cardboard box had been set out, and the appreciative audience was tossing in euros. After her escape from the matador's blade, Anya needed to clear her head and take stock. She sat on the curved lip of a public fountain. The cool spray misted her shoulders and the back of her neck.
That man certainly doesn't like it when people touch his stuff.
Touching her upper thigh below her hip, she felt the sting of the injury she'd gotten from the bull.
Does Manuel's compulsion go so far as to make him track back the previous handlers of the crown to further clear it of the negative energies he claims it took on with touch? Russell Jones in London had his hands on it, according to his secretary.
El Bravo had been booked solid at the Corrida, and during the summer, most matadors slept and fought. They had little time to do anything else. Ava had said Cristo wanted Bravo's favor. The details of the murder and motives were being gathered by Soto's team. Anya made a mental note to give Jones's name to Soto in case it may aid in the murder investigation.
But would that lead them to the party who bought and sold the votive crown to El Bravo? That person would have had to place it in Diego's hands for delivery.
Anya pondered the notion of a dirty cop who may have looted Crockett's site also having access to the crown. If the crown originated in London, it had to have been a special order. Not another artifact a looter happened upon and was trying to get rid of quickly. The rapper flamenco group moved up the street, seeking a new audience to scatter coins in the box they'd set out before their sign spray-painted, Nuevo Flamenco, We're Hungry. Anya headed back to the hotel. The door to her room stood open an inch.
You've got to be kidding me. Apparently, there's not a single hotel in this city I can stay at without attracting bad news.
Anya approached cautiously, and in a moment of instinct, hand held down at her side, she willed the sword into her grip. The leather-wrapped hilt filled her curled palm. The plain but strong blade stretched out along the wall. Sliding the blade tip along the door, she pried it open with a flick of her wrist. A female silhouette stood in front of the patio window, her back to Anya. A twist of dark hair was secured at the back of her head. No ponytail today. Red ruffles edged her sleeves at the elbows. Black leather pants replaced her usual festive skirt. Fitted black leather biker boots sported buckles from knee to ankle. At her side, she wielded a long blade, not so long as Anya's, but close in size to the estoque the matador used. Anya pulled the door shut, making sure the lock clicked. Ava turned around and smiled a tight grin. She dragged the tip of her blade down the thigh of her snug leather pants.
I was hoping you'd have your sword. That'll make this a fair fight.
Really? You want to give your mark a fighting chance? Why me?
You've been asking a lot of questions. That one was plain stupid. Do you really expect an answer?
El Bravo just tried to kill me, but since he failed, my first guess is he sent you to clean up what he couldn't accomplish.
I do nothing to please that man.
Then I got nothing.
You'll never have the answers you want. And yet you already have the answers you need, don't you?
Manuel Bravo...
The Marador will pay for his crime.
Killing Diego Montero?
Exactly.
Do you have proof? It could have been any Marador.
Ava stepped a few paces forward, wielding the blade as if ready to stab. Her hair was styled back, with a dark curl spilling down her forehead. The top half of her looked ready to dance. The bottom half was forged to kick ass. Ava spun the blade with her fingers, catching it smartly, and on aim with Anya's heart.
I promise I'll make it easy on you.
Oh? You gonna sever my aorta by coming in over my head?
It wasn't me, but you know that already.
Ava stepped forward, feinting to the left. Anya stepped right and was rewarded with a clash of blade to sword. Anya ducked under the attack and ran through it to place herself before the patio doors. They now faced off in the largest open space in the room.
You'll never match me with that little blade.
Hey! Yeah.
Ava spun, viciously slashing the blade. Thrusting with a fencing move, Anya worked Ava back toward the door. The dancer moved with agile grace, dashing to the left. Ava jumped, slashing her blade randomly. Anya stumbled backward, losing her balance. Anya landed on the floor on her side and rolled to her knees.
I don't get it.
Anya rose and came on guard. Ava sneered and flicked a loose strand of hair from her face.
Manuel is the only one crazed enough to want to get rid of me, so I assume he sent you. But I thought you and he stood on opposite sides.
You've guessed this one wrong, Creed. I do not work for the Matador.
I think you do, and you just don't know it.
The suggestion gave Ava pause. She was thinking about it, but without dropping her guard. Anya had no intention of killing her. She wanted to incapacitate the crazy chick with the blade and then call the police. She dodged Ava's blade.
Wait, don't tell me you're working for Cesar Soto.
No change in the assassin's expression. Ava stabbed and Anya blocked the move with the edge of her sword.
Soto sent you after me, because I was getting too deep. But into what? So it's Cesar Soto behind the antiquities ring and you're his muscle.
I never for one moment thought you were stupid, even though I suspect that was a wild guess. A wrong guess. Soto isn't involved in illegal antiquities trade.
You know that for certain?
The man you're looking for is right under your thumb. And then there is the woman.
They shuffled through the open patio door. Anya slammed the heel of her palm against Ava's chest as her opponent's back hit the iron railing. Ava's hand gripping the blade swayed out above her head. Anya dropped her sword into the otherwhere. She used both hands to clutch the dancer by the shoulders. She flung Ava away from the railing and shoved her back inside the room. Before Ava could turn to face her, she'd called the sword back to her grip. Anya stalked inside after her.
A woman? Other than you?
She works closely with the man at the museum. I couldn't believe Cesar didn't know it. I was the one who suggested he look into her background.
Are you and Cesar dating?
Blood drooled down Ava's chin. She pushed herself up. Then Ava collapsed. It looked as if her arm was hurt, maybe broken.
Shit!
Anya kicked the blade out of her hand, spearing the tip of her battle sword against Ava's throat. Anya slammed down the woman's groping free hand with the sole of her boot.
Do it!
And spoil your dancing career?
If you don't end this, the Marador dies at tomorrow's corrida.
Anya stepped back.
He's killed too many. He has to be stopped.
Are you talking about animals or humans?
He believes he is some kind of god who has the power over life and death.
Who is the woman associated with the stolen artifacts?
On the police force. Cesar already knows about her. He wants you out of the way so he can catch her. That's why I'm here, keeping you out of the way.
I think you'd better stick with dancing and leave the assassination gigs to the professionals. It's been swell.
Anya knocked Ava out and released her sword into the otherwhere. Then she collected the dancer's weapon. She didn't want to leave it in Ava's hands, so she wedged it into the bed frame and broke off the hilt. Anya grabbed her backpack, shoved the laptop inside, then swung it over her arm. She left the failed assassin behind. The police didn't want her sticking her nose into their business? Fine. But they certainly didn't need to send an assassin after her. Soto could have asked nicely. Okay, so her habit of following things through to the end tended to put her in situations she would be wise to avoid. For example, she'd be seeing James Harlow in the morning. Cesar Soto sat down before Hannibal Drake, after hastily introducing himself and apologizing for the early hour. He judged from Drake's calm demeanor he'd been in this kind of situation before, and would have a handle on how much to say. Fine by him, he only needed the man to identify one person. Soto opened a manila file and withdrew three photos, wondering why he'd even pulled two of them. Ava had named a startling culprit. Yet when Soto ran the background check, he'd been shocked that things on this woman's history hadn't come to light when she applied to the force. Like a stint at the University of Madrid on an archaeological team. Soto slid the photo across the table toward Drake.
Have you seen this person before, Señor Drake?
Yes.
In the vicinity of the warehouse located directly across from your business office on the Campo del Sur?
Yes.
Have you spoken directly to the person in this picture?
I don't recall if I have or have not.
I understand.
Am I being charged today? I wasn't given an opportunity to call my lawyer.
No, you're not being charged with the crime today, Señor Drake. You are free to go. I thank you for your cooperation.
Hannibal nodded and stood to shake Cesar's hand. The man had a firm handshake. Cesar wiped his hand across his thigh as Hannibal Drake left the interrogation room. Back at the hostel where she'd originally been lodging, Anya was pleased to find it had cleared out, except for an elderly British couple who, after they'd introduced themselves, offered to share their tea. She politely refused, claiming exhaustion from touring the city. Yesterday had been a long day. Attacked by a bull, nearly run down by a car, a firefight in the warehouse, a high-speed car chase, and a swim in the ocean. Manuel Bravo had tried to kill her. And then Ava Vital.
That woman is a tough one to figure.
Anya took her search to the internet. On a hunch, she typed in Cesar Soto's name, and the search results yielded some thumbnails of larger photos. One was a professional portrait of Soto, showing him in full police gear, along with a bio which listed his 8 years of service. There was no mention of his failed shot at the Corrida circuit, nor were there any links associating him with Ava Vital. Ava had suggested that the two of them were close enough for her to learn privileged information. She typed in Manuel Bravo's name and kept Ava's name in the search. Bravo's darkly handsome face appeared in a row of thumbnails. She scanned the pictures. Most featured him in a classic bullfighter's pose or caping the bull in a flurry of magenta and yellow. Only a few were of him in casual wear signing autographs. One photo looked like it was taken at his villa, probably for a lifestyle magazine. In it, he was posed out on the patio under the paper lanterns with a cigar and a scotch. Anya paused on one snapshot that didn't fit with the rest. Manuel looked at the cameraman as if he were surprised to have his picture taken, and a hand was in the foreground. Anya clicked on the thumbnail version to have a look at the full-scale version. Manuel had his arm around a woman's hips as he led her toward a local restaurant. And hers was the hand up blocking the photographer's shot. The woman's hand had successfully blocked her face from view, but Anya didn't need to see the face. The tattoo on the woman's wrist, a single wing, told her all she needed to know.
The Matador's nemesis, but apparently not always.
A click on the image took her to the original site, the gossip section of the local paper, Diario de Cádiz. The caption declared El Bravo's fiery love affair with a local dancer was fraught with fighting and public screaming matches. Anya sat back against the pillow on the narrow bed. Ava seemed to want the guy dead. And if the caption was true, perhaps she perceived a good reason if they had been at each other's throats during their relationship.
Which was when?
Anya clicked through the article to find the byline was dated 6 months earlier. If the Matador had confided his extreme obsession over people touching his artifacts and his methods for exacting revenge, he may have confessed murder to Ava. And now the dancer felt he must pay for those crimes after Diego Montera's death.
Makes sense. Ava isn't at all concerned with the stolen artifacts linked to the case, which also makes sense if she's merely seeking vengeance.
But if Manuel was receiving stolen goods, Anya needed to get to the core of the operation before some crazed ex-lover took him out. Anya looked at her cell phone. James Harlow's name appeared. She wondered how the professor was involved. Ava had said a female was working with someone at the museum. The morning she'd found Montera in his room, she'd later run into Harlow in the plaza before the museum, and they had stopped into the tapas bar to eat. He'd seemed calm, and not like a man who had just committed murder.
Hello?
Still in town?
There's a fight this evening. El Bravo's 100th corrida. I had hoped to catch it.
I see. No luck with the problem?
Actually, I did find a warehouse by the shore that I suspect was trafficking in stolen goods.
You don't say.
It was blazing by the time I left.
On fire? How?
Don't know. I think someone followed us there and decided to destroy the evidence. Do you ever visit those kinds of warehouses, James?
Why would I? What they represent is reprehensible.
You can find a lot of quality items in them.
Are you accusing me of something, Anya?
No. Did you contact the police department about getting the ball statue returned when they release it from evidence?
I will. I marvel over your concern for such a small problem, Anya. Haven't you big adventures to pursue? The bull statue hardly seems worth your effort. You know...
What?
I do know a name that may be connected to the stolen artifacts. Hell, he could be in collusion with Jonathan Crockett. The man likes to lie low, but I'm aware he receives stolen goods and resells them to elite clients from a fancy office by the shore.
Who is that?
His name is Hannibal Drake. I believe his office is off Campo del Sur.
That could be the area next to the warehouse that burned last night. How come you never mentioned Hannibal Drake before?
It only just now occurred to me. Yes, I think that man should be investigated. Though, really, Anya, this is a police matter.
I'll leave town first thing. Thanks, James. The hands-on time I got with the Hercules coins will really be valuable for my article.
No problem. Have a good flight.
Anya hung up and dug in her backpack for her camera. It wasn't there. She tracked through her whereabouts over the past few days and remembered she'd last used it at the museum. That gave her an excuse to stop by again, and for reasons she couldn't quite finger, she wanted to look into James Harlow's eyes and measure his sincerity face to face. Garin pulled his replacement rental Jeep to the curb a block from the police station. Hannibal Drake slid onto the passenger seat and nodded his thanks. Garin headed for the Jerez de la Frontera airport. Drake knew when to stick around and when to cut his losses. He owned offices across the world. If the heat was on, he could move at the snap of his fingers.
Any idea why they tagged you?
I suspect James Harlow, professor at the museum. That bastard has been my nemesis since I moved into town. Oh, he's adopted an air of being above board and untouchable. Wouldn't touch a hot bit of pottery if his life depended on it. Damned liar. He's taken more bits and bobs than I could ever hope to. Bastard.
So, you're going to run?
You know me.
Staying off police radar is paramount, and you're doing a swell job of it.
Yes, well, I'm sitting beside you right now and not beside some bruiser convict in the market for a boyfriend, so I'll take swell. They asked me about an Anya Creed. Do you know her? Some actress?
Television host. I know her.
I don't think I like her either.
My apologies. I'll talk to her.
It's all right. My therapist often reminds me that karma always bites the right ass.
The museum was quiet and cool in the early afternoon hours. Most people were out for siesta, Anya knew, having learned the employees' schedules during the few days she'd spent looking over the coins. Harlow usually skipped out for a sherry and tapas around this time, so Anya expected to find the camera and go. Harlow had a large office in the museum basement, stacked with textbooks and the requisite skulls, damaged artifacts, collections of keys, coins, and bones in various states of decay and damage. Crates containing recent acquisitions sat unopened, awaiting his inspection. Anya would have loved a moment to go through them all, like Christmas in July. She located the camera and picked it up from the top of a small stack of notebooks, which set them askew across Harlow's desk. Straightening them, Anya uncovered a small bronze bull beneath a white handkerchief.
I just can't seem to be rid of you.
Bull statue in hand, She turned to face James Harlow.
Want to tell me how this went from the dirt where I dug it up 3 days ago to the hotel room of a dead man to a police evidence locker to your desktop?
I thought that was your expertise, figuring things out. You are too nosy for your own good, Creed. Why did you have to persist?
You've always known the origins of this little piece. How it was designed by Philip III as a wedding gift for Louis XIII, and that it possibly hides a treasure inside. The moment I mentioned this statue had been uncovered at the site, you started making plans to obtain it, didn't you?
Does it matter? I have it now. Obviously, it was not let out of the evidence room without an official signed release, so I've done nothing wrong. That little beauty now belongs to the Cadiz Museum.
This is evidence from a murder investigation. I can't believe the police would release it. And I don't suspect you'll tell me the truth since you've been lying to me all this time.
Ah! Harlow moved quickly with his cane, slapping it on top of her hand painfully.
Hand it over.
And then what?
Go home.
What will you do then? Break this thing open? Destroy it? Continue trafficking in the very artifacts you claim to want to protect? I don't think so. This has to be reported to Cesar Soto.
I thought you'd say that.
Harlow reached inside his blazer and pulled out a pistol. It looked like a four-shot Derringer. Old, but probably well cared for and very usable.
You're gonna kill me?
I know who can take care of cleaning up a crime scene.
They didn't do a very good job out at Crockett's site.
That was unfortunate, but it did net me the Bronze Bull.
In a roundabout way. So the police really did kill Simon Klosky?
Just one particular officer.
A woman, I've been told.
There you go. Treading on police territory again, Anya.
Is this thing really worth two dead men?
I didn't have anything to do with the delivery boy's death. Sounds like he was sent on two jobs at one time. Unfortunately for me, he didn't make the morning delivery.
So when I ran into you outside the museum that morning, you weren't late because you'd slept in. It was because you'd missed an appointment with Diego Montero?
I wasn't given his name, just a meeting place. Anya, you know the world isn't fair, and artifacts are bought and sold every day without a care for provenance. I'm trying to keep this museum in the game. Show me a museum that doesn't acquire artifacts of felonious provenance, and I'll mark that one in the record books.
There are plenty of museums that operate on the up and up. Your explanation is a poor excuse for what you've done. And what is one small statue to the museum's collection?
It once belonged to this very museum. You uncovered that yourself.
Right, but stealing it back?
Who said it was for the museum?
You did.
Yes, well, I fancy bull items. Couldn't resist this one.
Don't give me that. You want what's inside.
Don't you want to crack that puppy open like a Christmas cracker? It's a huge ruby, Anya. It could be worth millions.
Millions that belong to the country of France, since this item can be traced to Louis XIII.
Bosh! Finders keepers.
You are not the man I thought you to be.
No one ever is. We all wear a mask. Even you, Anya. After finding the dead body, you let Jonathan Crockett leave.
Because I had no reason to suspect Crockett. And I reported Simon's death as soon as I returned to Cadiz. The professor isn't guilty of a crime. Why do you insist on implicating him? And for that matter, you chucked Hannibal Drake under the bus, too.
Someone had to go down.
Does that pistol even work?
Let's have a look-see.
Harlow aimed for her head. Anya began to focus on calling the sword forth.
Ah!
But there was no need. The pistol Harlow held flipped out of his grasp and blood sprayed from his damaged fingers.
Ah!
Harlow dropped his cane and gripped his hand as he stumbled against a stack of crated acquisitions. Cautious not to make a wrong move, Anya waited for the unseen shooter to show himself. With her luck, the next shot could be aimed at her. Far from relieved by the sight of Cesar Soto's cowboy hat moving into view, Anya fought the urge to go at him sword to pistol.
Fancy meeting you here, Officer Soto. Did you hear our conversation?
I did.
Soto held his pistol aimed on Harlow. Harlow dropped to his knees.
You have a way of putting yourself in the most interesting situations, Senorita Creed.
It's the curiosity seeker in me.
Anya held the bronze bull up and made a show of carefully placing it on the desk.
The statue that was once in police evidence. Of course, you are aware it was removed, I'm sure.
No, I was not. We have a dirty cop in our department who likes to go shopping in the evidence room. I'll take that back into Cadiz police custody.
Soto tapped a button on the radio hooked at his collar.
I need backup to bring in a suspect.
See. Copy that, sir.
Not you, but if you'll step back for a moment and allow me to do my job, I'd appreciate the cooperation.
Drop the damn thing. Crack it open. Anya, this is your one chance to see what's inside. Just do it.
I need to know the truth, please.
Sorry, James. I'm not keen on destroying evidence or historical artifacts.
But it was meant to be cracked open. You saw LaPlante's sketch.
If so, the sketch along with this artifact will make for a fascinating display in a museum.
You're no archaeologist. We seek the truth, the answers beneath the surface.
There are ways to learn the truth without damaging the object. You know that.
So much for adventure.
After delivering Harlow to the backup officer and getting further details from Anya, Soto walked her out of the museum. A crowd had begun to gather, drawn by the three police cars flashing their lights out front.
There's something inside that little bronze bull?
Supposedly a ruby of immense size and value. It was designed as a gift to Louis XIII of France on his wedding day.
And you don't want to crack it open?
What? Oh, there are X-ray scanning methods that can reveal what's inside. We won't have to crack a thing to find out. I'm surprised, Officer Soto. You'd destroy it?
No, I would not. But I would be interested in learning if there is actual treasure inside.
If you'll allow it, I'd like to have the bull sent to the Harwell Science and Innovation Campus in Oxfordshire for an X-ray. An ordinary X-ray machine won't work, and it's the only place that has the equipment to do it right now. Then we can both find out the secrets of what's in the belly of the bull.
I think that can be arranged. Now, I probably can't ask you to leave town again, but I sure would appreciate it if you would.
You really believe I contributed to hampering your investigation?
I won't say, one way or the other. I like you fine, Senorita Crete, but I'd like you a lot better in another country.
Fair enough. I have plans to attend El Bravo's fight this afternoon. Then I promise I'll get on a plane soon after.
Sounds like a deal. I guess I owe you my thanks. If Harlow hadn't explained the details to you in there, I might still be searching.
You said there was a dirty cop on the force. Would that be a woman?
I'm not sure I want to know how you come by your information, but yes. We arrested Officer Maria Alonso less than an hour ago, and she gave us Harlow.
Anya recalled the officer who'd first taken down her report at the station.
Is she the one who killed Simon Klosky?
Yes.
And chased me last night out of the burning warehouse?
Seems we've got more chatting to do before you head to the fight.
I'm all yours, officer. You have any idea where Eva Vital is right now?
Why? What does the dancer have to do with Harlow's arrest?
Nothing at all. But she's got a death wish for El Bravo.
Huh?
She told me, and then she tried to kill me. She also implied the two of you may have a relationship.
I can have you escorted out of the city again, without seeing the fight or even packing your bags.
All right. I'll forget she ever mentioned it. But I think she's going to go after El Bravo at the fight. Do you trust my suspicion?
If I didn't know either of you better, I'd say no. But let's go for a ride, Senorita.
Manuel Bravo crossed himself and kissed his knuckles. Then he bowed before the altar in his sanctuary. Today was the day. 100 kills this season. He knew what had to be done. Things had not gone as Manuel wished, but all things happened for a reason. It had to be a punishment for his evil ways. He did not regret. He learned. He lived. El Bravo had tried to make his life good. He had failed. He stood before the altar and gazed at the gleaming gold crown that had been tainted by her touch.
I will do what must be done. Alla lucha!
Anya received a police escort to the stadium in Jerez, arriving after the third bull had been dragged from the ring by a team of mules. Cesar Soto accompanied her in, and while she wasn't under arrest, she got the feeling he didn't want her to stray too far from his side. Fair enough. She spied Garin Braden in his linen suit. The seat next to him was empty.
I'm going to talk to a friend. Just over there.
Fine. I'll take a look around.
They both had their eye out for Eva Vital. Shuffling by those patrons seated on cushions, fanning themselves against the oppressive heat, even at 6 in the evening, Anya arrived at the empty seat.
Mind if I sit?
Garin looked up at her, shook his head in disbelief, then splayed a hand toward the seat. She sat and eyed the matadors, who were currently caping the fourth bull while El Bravo watched from the barrera.
Thought you'd be in New York City by now. Or did you take my threat as a joke?
No, didn't take it as a threat either. I had some loose ends to tie up.
Not at this corrida, you don't.
No, not here. Back at the City Museum. I found the man responsible for looting Crockett's dig and his associate, who may be connected with the warehouse by the sea. And now I want to take in the Matador's last fight.
It's not his last... What do you have planned?
Nothing. Not yet. I'm here to watch the fight. I promise. The professor at the museum was arrested for trafficking in stolen antiquities. Still doesn't explain Diego Montero's death.
Don't want to hear it, Anya. Just shut up and watch. Or find another seat.
Anya could abide by those terms. With Officer Soto's position marked to her left, she observed as the fourth and fifth bulls charged out into the ring and El Bravo dispatched both within the 15-minute time limit. One bull remained. If he were successful, it would be the Matador's sixth kill of the day and the 100th of the season. Twilight overtook the day, and a cool breeze sifted down among the Contra Barrera where they sat.
You talk to Rue?
Is there a reason I should?
Just trying to make conversation.
Which meant he didn't want to talk about anything she'd learned here in Cadiz. Anya would put this visit down as something she should never again bring up with Garin. Soto had mentioned the arrest of an antiquities dealer who worked along the shore. Perhaps the very same with whom Garin had done his necklace shopping. It was the only good reason Garin would be offended by her involvement in solving the antiquities theft. Fair enough. They both had things they didn't wish to discuss with the other, and best keep it that way. The final bull was released, and he charged into the ring with explosive aggression, kicking out his back hooves and stirring up the dust. After that display, the bull settled immediately and looked around, eyeing, it seemed, everyone in the first row behind the barrera, and then the two matadors who approached him with the bright magenta and yellow capes. Out of the ring, a flash of red caught Anya's eye. Standing below and to her left, a woman with black hair pulled tightly back in a bun wandered along the exit aisle. Eva Vital, in full flamenco dress. The dancer winked at her, then walked along the front row. She greeted an older man in a black fedora with a kiss to both his cheeks and sat next to him. Anya exchanged glances with Cesar Soto, who nodded once and tugged down his cowboy hat, maintaining his post 5 rows behind Eva on the aisle. It was unlikely that Eva had seen him. If Cesar and Eva were indeed seeing each other romantically, Anya wondered what was going through Cesar's mind right now. It seemed best to keep an eye on both of them.
You know the dancer?
Yes. Shared a beer and a sword fight with her. She's the one who wants El Bravo dead.
The sniper? Wonder if that's the one Manuel had such a fiery relationship with.
She is. I found an article about them online. But they're no longer dating?
No, he got rid of her months ago. Very domineering, as I understand, and not faithful. She wants him dead. Not a surprise, considering their tempestuous relationship. Do you think she's carrying?
Who knows what she's got hidden in those ruffles? I don't know the man she's sitting next to, do you?
Can't get a look at his face, but he doesn't seem familiar.
I can't imagine she'd risk taking a shot at El Bravo before a stadium full of people. I should move closer.
Garin gripped her arm, staying her.
Bravo has stepped out before the bull. She won't make a move now. Too risky with all these witnesses.
She could put a bullet through his brain and be gone before anyone can identify the direction of the shooter.
Anya?
Fine, but I won't be able to concentrate on the fight.
You watch whatever draws your attention.
Garin turned and leaned forward, elbows on his knees. Only half confident that Cesar Soto could get to Eva before she made a move, Anya had to force her attention to the ring. El Bravo performed an exquisite Veronica that swept the bull along his body. The matador, strong and straight in his sky-blue suit of lights, arced his arm over the bull's back, guiding him almost, yet making it appear to be as soft as a caress. It was a beautiful moment.
Olé! Olé! Bravo!
Anya found herself swept away, right along with the crowd. Bravo walked skillfully before the bull, intuiting the bull's next move. He was still frisky, not having been stabbed by the picador. And in fact, when the mounted picador appeared at the gate, the matador waved him off. This was highly unusual. Instead, El Bravo gestured toward his second in command. Cristo stepped out from the barrera and handed Bravo 2 barbed darts frilled with red paper. The crowd leaned in as the matador raised the spikes above his head, 1 in each hand, defying the bull to rush him while his body was at its most vulnerable. The bull did. El Bravo lunged, seeming to rise from the ground without effort, and landed the banderillas dead in the center of the bull's morillo. The bull made a circle around the matador, testing the pain it had been delivered, but determined to charge the cape again. This bull was still strong, not having been properly weakened by the lance.
Is this common?
Never seen it done before. He's putting on a show, but it's dangerous.
Another set of banderillas was placed with equal bravery. Anya's attention dropped to the first row, where Ava watched, the dancer's back straight and her chin level. Ava didn't react with the crowd. Anya glanced to where Cesar stood. He wasn't there. Never had Anya felt so at odds. Clearly, she had no authority. She must trust that Soto had everything under control. El Bravo caped the bull using grand, sweeping veronicas. As Bravo explained to Anya when he'd been teaching her, he slowly revealed his body to the bull. First his feet, then his knees. Then, with a big gesture that splayed the cape in a circle around his body, all of him. Toying with his opponent, but also tiring the animal who continued to charge the cape. Blood soaked the bull's back where the darts clung. The morrillo had swollen, and Anya sensed, in this heat, the animal was suffering. When El Bravo returned to the barrier to claim the small muleta cape and estoque, the crowd was startlingly still. The bull stood, both front hooves planted firmly in the sand, shoulders squared. The matador had placed him correctly for the faena, which would end in the kill. Manuel turned to the crowd, lifting his Montera hat high to salute them. He turned the entire circle, acknowledging all. Stillness hung in the air like a humid cloud. El Bravo twisted around, and when he stopped, he looked directly at Anya. The matador bowed grandly toward her, tucking his hat against his stomach, and then blew her a kiss.
Hell, he's dedicated the kill to you.
That is so wrong. I don't want...
Quiet, Anya.
She decided an acknowledging nod was necessary. The crowd showed their enthusiastic approval at the sight of her acceptance. She certainly hoped none of them thought she was Bravo's girlfriend. A glance toward where Ava sat found her posture stiff. She wasn't applauding.
What is El Bravo up to?
The bull hadn't moved, its tongue lolling. It had been exhausted from the fight. Yet the bull held his head up, which indicated there may be fight left in him. Bravo lifted the muleta cape and stepped forward, approaching the bull. He bowed to the animal, placing the cape between his knees to hold it. He then took the estoque and, gripping the ponytail he'd secured at the back of his head, neatly sliced it off.
No!
Not yet understanding, Anya still found herself crying out with the rest of the crowd. Cape again in hand, the matador stepped forward, arm raised with the estoque aimed downward. Yet he didn't leap to deliver the coup de grace. The bull lifted his head. The bull charged. A horn gored the matador's chest, right through his heart. Manuel's sword hand swung backward. The blade dropped to the ground. El Bravo's body was lifted as if it were a rag doll and joggled on the bull's horn, which turned bloody as the matador's life spilled from the wound. The bull hadn't expected such a heavy load, fell to his knees and dropped his exhausted head. The horn was still impaled in Bravo's chest. The dead matador didn't struggle. The other matadors rushed to assist their maestro. One piqued the bull on the back with the picador's lance, and another lunged to place the coup de grace at the base of the bull's brain, foregoing the cut to sever the aorta. The bull dropped to his side. Pulled from the horn, the matador tumbled to the bloody ground. Even amid the horror, Anya had the sense to look for Ava. The dancer was no longer seated. Cesar Soto stood at the end of the row where Ava had been, his attention on the exit and not the ring. He was watching the woman in the red flamenco dress leave. Ava Vital paused before she was out of Anya's sight and turned to look directly at her. She winked, then nodded once and left the stadium. Soto exchanged glances with Anya, shrugged, and stepped aside as some of the patrons rushed up to the barrier wall to get a closer look at the tragedy. It was out of his hands. Garin and Anya both stood. The 500-year-old warrior buttoned his linen suit coat and cocked his head to the side as if to stretch out a kink. He stepped around her and, without a word, walked out of the stadium. She didn't go after him. His hero had just committed suicide. And Anya knew that the source of El Bravo's guilt glittered back at his villa over the sanctuary altar. Two Visigothic crowns, bought at the cost of human lives. The following morning, Garin Braden didn't offer Anya a ride to the airport. She did see him drive by the hostel in the rental jeep, but if he had noticed her walking toward the bus station, he gave no indication. Anya lugged the backpack over a shoulder and pulled out her cell phone to verify she had received an electronic boarding pass. The night she was escorted to the airport, she had made her exchange for a flight departing for London this afternoon. She had about 2 hours to make Jerez de la Frontera. A patrol car stopped beside her, and Cesar Soto nodded through the open window.
Señorita Creed, need a ride?
Yes, to the airport.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. Hop in.
Anya tossed her backpack in the back seat. She slid into the passenger seat, and Soto headed toward La Pepa Bridge.
How's James Harlow?
He posted bail.
What? But I thought...
We were unable to make any charges stick. It's impossible to determine if Señor Harlow had a hand in accepting stolen goods. And we don't have the man-hours to go through the records at the museum.
I can't believe that. You had enough man-hours to track the guy and arrest him in the first place. I thought Maria Alonso...
We've managed to connect her weapon to the bullet in Simon Klosky's back. But even though she's named Harlow as a partner in crime, there's no evidence. Only hearsay.
But Harlow was behind the robbery at Jonathan Crockett's dig site. He said as much to me. You were outside the door when he confessed.
Impossible to prove, and he has an alibi. Namely, you.
And Ava Vital?
The only crime she may have committed was wanting the matador dead.
Attempted murder, don't forget that.
Right, but she didn't get her man. And wanting someone dead is very different than actual murder.
If I were you, I'd tread carefully around that woman.
I'll take that suggestion to heart. The case is closed, Señorita Creed. The torero who received stolen goods is dead.
At least one votive crown in his sanctuary was stolen from the Cluny Museum about 6 months ago. I'm sure they'll appreciate its return.
I'll make a note of that. After it's been run through evidence, I'm sure it'll find its way home. We've already contacted the place in Oxfordshire to have the bronze bull scanned. I've given them your number as an additional contact.
Thank you. I'm sorry about Manuel's death. You two were once friends.
Never friends. Our families had a blood debt that had gone on too long. I should have ended it years ago.
He was supporting you, but you didn't need the money.
You'd be surprised at the medical bills I still owe for that accident over a decade ago on the Bravo Ranch. Blood debts run deep, Señorita. It isn't something you can understand.
Probably not.
El Bravo will be lauded as a hero tomorrow and buried the next day. He will be missed. That's all I wish to say about it.
Thanks for telling me that. I can now leave the country knowing the police have a handle on at least one illegal antiquities operation. Or do they? If you can't pin it on Harlow, and I suspect Maria Alonso was only a liaison, do you have the suspect?
The warehouse that burned by the ocean is connected to one other shop in town. I've already got men on it. We do what we can, Señorita Creed. Protecting artifacts isn't as high a priority for us as protecting our citizens.
Brooklyn was her home, and Anya was glad to be back. She jogged down the running path in Prospect Park and noted a crew of three men trimming an oak tree set back about 50 yards. Chainsaw in hand, one man swung from a branch high up in the tree using only a rope. He had no safety harness and wasn't secured with belts. She waved as she ran by. Anya paused, still walking in a circle to keep her blood rushing, and answered. A lab technician from Diamond Light Source, the synchrotron facility at the Harwell Science and Innovation Campus in Oxfordshire, let her know the results on the scan of the bull statue.
I could send you a PDF of the scan if you like.
Yes, I'd like that.
Anya gave him her email address.
What did you find?
Nothing.
Anya stopped, her free hand on her hip. A pair of joggers ran around her, and she stepped onto the grass beneath the cool shade of a weeping willow.
Seriously? There's nothing inside the bronze bowl?
I suspect you've been talking to Rockford LaPlante.
Not a reliable source.
Far from it. The man collects conspiracies. Every year, it seems, he's off on a new adventure to find another legendary village, jewel, a lost civilization. The ruby in a bull's belly was an urban legend, Miss Creed. Sorry to disappoint you.
Not as sorry as I am to have been duped. But thank you for your time and expense. I appreciate the information.
Thank you. We've been able to pass this little bull statue, as worthless as it may be, along to the British Museum, where they will decide if provenance proves it belongs to France. It could be traced to the Anne of Austria dowry, though, so chin up, eh?
Thanks again. Goodbye.
Anya opened the file of the scan, And even though the cell phone screen was small, it was very clear that there was nothing inside the bull's belly.
And two men, possibly more, died because of it.
Anya shook her head and tucked her phone away and started up a fast walk. She didn't feel energetic enough for the jog now. Sometimes, she thought, you eat the bull, and sometimes the bull eats you.
Rogue Angel, The Matador's Crown, is a graphic audio production. Rogue Angel trademark, owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2012, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2013, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Kimberly Gilbert, Christopher Sheeran, Evan Casey, Jonathan Watkins, James Keegan, Terrence Aselford, Bradley Smith, Nora Ashrati, Matthew Bassett, and David Coyne. Directed by Colleen Delaney. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Thomas Hogan and Brian Rogers. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Additional original music by Thomas Hogan. Book adapted for graphic audio by Doug Krenzlin. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for Lilith St. Crow's Dante Valentine and Jill Kismet series, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Now here's a surprise.
Are you alone?
At the moment. Raymond, aren't you supposed to be dead?
Not that I know of.
How did he die?
They said you both died on Olympus Creek. Are we correct in assuming that you are no longer working with the Unified Authority?
Yes, sir. That would be a correct assumption.
Are you fugitives?
Enemies might be a better description.
Arthur tracked the Avatari signal to Boda's galaxy. The Navy should have sent a fleet to destroy their home world by now.
Admiral, we have lost 3/4 of our fleet. We no longer have the firepower we need to carry out our mission. We must return to Earth. We must report that we have located the aliens and request a larger fleet and more troops. As the Master Chief has suggested, we should have our SEALs open the way and send in Marines.
What do you suggest, Master Chief?
Maybe we should return to Earth.
We should return?
We should return and report what we have found. If we attack now and we fail, everything we have learned will be lost. We need to make our report, then launch our attack. We're not here to defeat this enemy. We need to destroy them.
Kill him, Harris! Well, that's an order!
Any last words?
Look, we got all kinds of stuff. I promise, I'll give you half of everything. No, all of it. All of it, I'm good for it.
Sounds like you've got the golden goose. Maybe I should let you go.
You won't be sorry. You won't. You're gonna be rich!
We meet right here, day after tomorrow. If you're not here with enough swag to fill a transport, you're a dead man. Get out of here.
Why did you let him go?
Didn't you hear? He's going to make me rich.
You're never going to see him again.
Damn straight I'm not going to see him again. Why the speck do you think we evacuated this planet? In 3 hours, the city's going to be dust. And that bastard is going to be dust along with it.
I told you to kill him. You disobeyed a direct order.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. Admiral, I'm relieving you of command.
You're what?
These are dire times, Admiral. And you're not fit for command.
Who the hell do you think you're speaking to?
Admiral Stephen R. Jolly, enlisted man's Navy, retired.
You can't do this!
Captain Holman, how much do you know about ancient Rome?
I know about the Praetorian Guard.
Really? Are you a fan of the classical age?
Not until recently. Am I looking down the barrel of a promotion?
A big one.
What about Admiral Jolly?
Shot by a looter. That was on Gobi. You saw the report.
And now you're placing me in charge?
I have every confidence in you.
Did you have every confidence in Emerald Jolly?
I was obligated to give him a shot because of his seniority.
You killed him.
Not me. It was the looter.
Are you gonna kill me if I screw up?
I need a commander. Are you in or out?
I'm in.
Glad to hear it. You couldn't have taken this post at a better time. We're about to launch a sensitive operation.
Captain! There's something out there!
Where?
I'm changing course! I'm changing course!
Shields up!
They're robotic! I'm detecting a signal!
Clear path! We need to break through!
Know this, gentlemen. Our only chance of survival is to establish a colony on a planet that the aliens have already attacked. We are going to colonize Terrano. As many of you know, the Unified Authority patrols that area. Our barges will be vulnerable. The Navy has asked a lot of you over the last month, and you have delivered. Now I'm going to ask even more of you than ever. Some of you will be asked to make the ultimate sacrifice. In order for this plan to work, we will need to draw the UA fleet away from Providence, Kree, and Terra. That means opening a front that will draw the Unified Authority's forces away. We are going to invade Earth.
Stephen L. Kent. Rogue Clone. Book 7. The Clone Redemption.
Available now in Graphic Audio.
If you can't find that Graphic Audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different Graphic Audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.